Chapter 5 Planning and Related Ideas. Planning. What is planning? Most people would probably answer this question by stating deciding what you want to do and how and when you want to do it. The word has a more or less similar meaning in organizational theory and management, but there are some differences. This can be seen in the following definitions of the word planning taken from the indicated sources. 1. A management function consisting of forecasting future events and determining the most effective activities for the total organization to achieve its objectives. This was a quote Montana P. and Charnod B. 1993 Management, 2nd ed. Pages 452. 2. The formal process of 1. Choosing an organizational mission and overall goals for both the short run and long run. 2. Devising divisional, departmental, and even individual goals based on organizational goals. 3. Choosing strategies and tactics to achieve these goals, and 4. Allocating resources, people, money, equipment and facilities to achieve the various goals, strategies, and tactics. This was a quote Hal Riegel, D. and Slocum, Jr., J.W. 1996 Management, 7th ed. Pages 768. 3. Setting objectives and formulating the steps to attain them. This was a quote Luthans F. and Hojets R. 1992 Business 2nd ed. P. G. 9. 4. Includes defining goals, establishing strategy, and developing plans to coordinate activities. This was a quote Robbins, S. P. 1996 Organizational Behavior 7th ed. P. G. 5. All of the above definitions are useful. Some of these definitions give more information than is needed to define the term planning. The first definition, 1, appears to be defining good planning strategies, but poor planning is still planning. The longest definition, 2, is describing the different types of planning that take place in an organization. The simplest definition, 3, is short and clear, but planning does not always involve setting objectives and formulating the steps to attain them. This was a quote. Of course, this is a good formula, but it is not the best definition, which will become more apparent later on in this text. The last definition, 4, on the list indicates what good organizational planning often involves. However, planning does not always involve these components. The definition, 4, also is somewhat deficient because it uses the word plan in defining the word planning, which is a different verb form of the word being defined. In all fairness to the above authors, it is extremely difficult to define the term in a perfect way in one or two sentences. The above definitions were taken from textbooks that explain the process of planning in detail. Thus, the intended meanings of the less-than-perfect definitions become clear after reading the text. I believe it will be helpful if I give my own definition. To minimize deficiencies, I will use an entire paragraph to define and explain the definition, as follows. Planning is the process of delineating a set of actions that may be carried out in the future to obtain a specifically defined goal, to deal with contingencies, or to focus efforts toward a general direction without a specifically defined goal. The delineated set of actions may be represented by a general statement, a diagram, a set of instructions, a series of written steps, or even by the goal itself when the needed actions to obtain the goal is obvious. The word may was used in the definition, because in some types of planning, such as contingency planning, the set of planned actions may or may not be actually carried out. The set of actions can include allocating resources, working out a precise budget, appointing individuals to manage or carry out the specific tasks, setting up machinery needed to make a product, marketing the product, or just about any action that an individual or organization can carry out. The word future in the definition can relate to time intervals as long as many years to less than a few minutes. That is, certain types of planning are carried out years in advance, and other types of planning might relate to the sequence of events that are going to be performed in the current work shift. This will be discussed in detail later on in the text. My definition of planning differs slightly from the descriptions taken from the sources, which imply that setting a specific goal is an essential part of planning. My definition implies that the planned set of actions does not necessarily have to relate to a predefined goal. Individuals, including managers, can plan activities without setting specific goals. This can involve a general set of scheduled activities that are directed toward a general direction. This idea was expressed by Michael B. M. C. Kasky in Organizational Behavior and the Practice of Management, pages 487 to 488, Hampton D., as follows. Most descriptions of organization and individual planning assume that setting goals is basic to any planning worthy of the name. In some important planning situations, however, it is difficult or impossible to set goals, and conventional descriptions of planning do not seem to apply. In fact, many managers realize that some of their most important planning takes place without ever explicitly considering specific goals. This was a quote. M.C. Caskey explains that in situations where the circumstances are unpredictable, planning without setting specific goals might be desirable. Such planning might also facilitate creative solutions to the problems that relate to the unpredictable situation. This type of planning might move toward a general direction, but not toward a specifically predefined goal. M.C. Caskey called this directional planning. However, in situations that are predictable, according to M.C. Caskey, planning that is based on a predefined goal might be more functional than directional planning. Thus, both of these planning strategies have their utility and their disadvantages, which are outlined below. The disadvantages of planning with predefined goals imply advantages in directional planning. The disadvantages of defining goals include all of the following. It can result in an excessive focus on a goal, which can result in missing opportunities that were not part of the defined goal. It can interfere with or prevent creativity. The excessive focus on a goal can even interfere with good health habits in some cases. A failure in obtaining predefined goals can be discouraging to all concerned. When goals are obtained earlier than the planned time frame, the result might encourage employees to take it easy and not do much work until the next goal is defined. And as already stated, it is often not possible to define any realistic goal when the situation is unstable or unpredictable. Of course, the above disadvantages do not manifest in all cases. The primary disadvantages of directional planning, without predefined goals, imply advantages in defining goals. The disadvantages of this type of planning include all of the following. The planned activities of directional planning might add up to a zero or negative result. That is, all involved can be working with maximum effort, performing many tasks, but the actual accomplishment might have little or no value, or the final result can be highly dysfunctional. It can be difficult to measure efficiency in a meaningful way without a predefined goal. It can be difficult to make corrections and improvements based on feedback. Feedback is likely to be most effective when it is based on a predefined goal, which involves assessing how close to the goal the individual or organization came. Thus, partial and even total failures as well as success, in relation to a predefined goal, can indicate valuable information in making improvements in performance. This information is only obtained if a goal is defined. Thus, plans based on precisely defined goals and directional planning are both valuable tools. Both of these tools have their specialized utility in specific situations. Many of us might know the basic ideas of directional planning from personal experience. When our lives were in a predictable state, we were more likely to set goals that we were able to achieve. When our circumstances were not in a predictable state, we were not able to plan specific goals that we were able to achieve, or if we did obtain the goal, it was at a point in time later than we planned. People who are undergoing a crisis are probably less likely to engage in goal-directed planning, unless it is essential and the outcome of the goal is predictable. They may plan the basic activities they intend to carry out, without defining specific goals. Of course, one can argue that every type of planning relates to a goal. Such an argument would be based on the assumption that the goal has been defined by the planned actions or on an unconscious level. One can further argue that the direction that M.C. Caskey discussed is a type of goal. Such an argument is based on a generalized definition of the word goal. The argument is basically a good one. However, it misses the very important and useful idea expressed by M.C. Caskey. It is not always feasible to define and successfully obtain specific goals under certain unstable conditions. Under such conditions, it might be more functional to plan without specifically defining a goal. A modification of the ideas expressed by M.C. Caskey can be based on a continuum. That is, planning can involve goals that range from extremely specific to goals or general directions that are extremely general and undefined, with respect to the nature of the goal, the sub-goals that make up the goal, the time of completion of the sub-goals and goal, the work involved to obtain the goal, the cost involved, the time investment involved, the effort involved, risks involved, the employees involved, etc. The more predictable the situation is, the more precisely the goal and the other factors mentioned above can be delineated in the plans, and vice versa. An alternative to the ideas discussed by M.C. Caskey, in relation to not setting specific goals under certain conditions, is as follows. Create a set of plans, including a specific goal that can be easily modified based on feedback. That is, set flexible goals and plans, so they can be modified as required by circumstances. This method can involve defining a precise goal, but it is understood that the goal might have to be modified based on the feedback from various components of the system, such as the response from the internal and external environment of the organization. Another basic idea can be added here in relation to goals. Generally, when the term goal is used, especially in relation to planning, it relates to an objective that an individual or the organization is trying to achieve. There are also situations or results that we want to avoid. This includes accidents, fires, sickness, financial problems, litigation, and failures of any type, conflict, strikes, and many other undesirable situations. These undesirable situations can be thought of as negative goals. They can be defined in the same way as desirable goals. Planning can then be carried out to avoid the negative goal. Planning can also be created to deal with a negative goal in the event it manifests, such as planning for the possibility of an accident, sickness, a strike, or a fire. When a desirable goal is defined, there are often significant possibilities of negative goals manifesting. That is, there are often risks involved with the goal or the set of actions needed to achieve the goal. It is a good idea to define these negative goals and devise a set of plans to avoid them. It is also advisable to develop contingency plans to deal with the negative goal in case it manifests. This is contingency planning. Contingency planning can also apply to positive situations that might manifest. Examples are a high demand for a product that was unexpected, or an unexpected development of a new invention by the engineering department of the organization. This type of planning deals with the necessary actions to deal with the desirable situation in the event it manifests. For example, if there is a high demand for a product or a new invention, the planning must relate to obtaining the resources needed to produce and distribute the product in a timely manner. If there is a failure or delay in this action, the company might lose an opportunity to make a high profit. Now I will return to the specific subject of planning. There are three basic types of planning, which are strategic, long-range, and operational. These concepts are discussed in the following six paragraphs. Strategic planning is a process of creating a general set of plans that outline general objectives or directions of the organization. Strategic planning is carried out by upper-level management, such as the CEO and board of directors. Examples of strategic plans are the mission statement of the organization, what type of products or services should be produced, what type of organizational culture should be officially fostered, or just about any long-term major planning effort carried out by higher-level management that is general in nature and significant to the entire organization. The time frame involved with such planning is usually more than 5 years. Montana and Charnoff, pages 100. Some strategic plans can even last the entire lifespan of the organization. Strategic planning is not really limited to organizations. Individuals engage in strategic planning when they set general goals for themselves that relate to how they want to live their lives. Some examples are the general area of employment that an individual plans to engage in, general educational goals that a person chooses which will affect employment and social opportunities, whether to stay single or find a marriage partner and raise a family, etc. In individuals, strategic planning may also develop on an unconscious level when an individual develops an image of herself and her future. Also, the development of the basic philosophy, values, morals, and personality of an individual is also a type of strategic planning that takes place more or less on an unconscious level. The culture and subculture of our environment and the people we interact with during the developing years influence the development of our strategic plans. Long-range planning is more specific than strategic planning. It also has a shorter time frame associated with it, which is usually 1 to 5 years. Montana P. and Charnoff B. pages 101. This type of planning is done essentially under the general guidelines that were set by the strategic planning. Long-range planning deals with major long-range financial goals. The specific products that are going to be produced over the next 1 to 5 years. Major investments in machinery, land and labor, etc. Long-range planning is also performed by people as they live their lives. When an individual decides to purchase a major appliance, furniture, a car, a boat, she is engaged in long-range planning. When an individual accepts a specific job, it is also a type of long-range planning. Such planning is usually controlled or influenced by the strategic plans of the individual in relation to such factors as self-image, overall type and quantity of education, and general occupational category. Operational planning usually has a time frame of 1 year or less. Montana P. and Charnoff B. This type of planning deals with the specific activities and steps needed to run the organization and to produce its products or services. Operational planning generally comes under the influence and basic guidelines of the long-range planning. It is essentially planning that deals with how to carry out the steps needed to achieve the goals set in the long-range planning process. For example, if the long-range plans are to make an improved product and market it at a high profit throughout the world, the operational planning in this regard will deal with the individual steps and activities needed to achieve this goal. This will include the specific steps needed in creating the product, working out a budget, creating a worldwide advertising campaign, creating a worldwide distribution network, etc. Thus, it should be apparent from the example that operational planning generally deals with the specific activities and steps that take place annually, quarterly, month to month, week to week, and day to day. The above suggests that operational planning can be thought of as a number of different types of planning, such as the planning that deals with the month to month, week to week, and day to day activities. Thus, it is possible to look at operational planning on a continuum, ranging from year to year down to the smallest relevant time interval. This also relates to the planned activities or steps, which can range from the completed goal, down to a delineation of the smallest second-by-second steps needed in the production process. This perspective might help with problem-solving and understanding failures. A failure in operational planning can take place at anywhere in the continuum, such as on a month-to-month basis, on an hour-to-hour basis, or on a second-to-second basis. For example, all the operational planning in relation to the production of a product might be perfect, except for the second-by-second actions of the workers on the assembly line, which can result in serious problems. Just as with strategic and long-term planning, operational planning is highly relevant to the activities that people carry out in their personal lives. When we make a schedule for the month, week, or day, we are engaged in operational planning. When we try to achieve any personal goal, there are individual activities and steps that we must carry out. The planning of these steps fit the category of operational planning. If our long-range planning involves college studies, our operational planning will involve choosing specific courses and going to class, and studying on a day-to-day basis. If our long-range planning involves losing weight, the associated operational planning will involve delineating low-calorie breakfasts, lunches, and suppers, and scheduling specific time periods for exercise. Thus, operational planning is a primary part of any self-improvement effort. It deals with the day-to-day, and the hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute, and second-to-second steps needed to obtain a self-improvement goal, such as completing a college course of study or losing weight. Most failures in self-improvement efforts involve failures in good operational planning or a failure to carry out the operational plan. The failure usually takes place at the hour-to-hour or minute-to-minute, or second-to-second level. This becomes obvious if you know a student that does not do her homework or an overweight individual that fails in her dieting efforts. From the above paragraphs, it should be apparent that the planning process is complex and can involve many steps. Luthams and Hojets presented a simplified, 5-step list, which clarifies the planning process, which is as follows. 1. Become aware of opportunities in general. This includes looking for any changes in the system's internal or external environment that might lead to an increase in profits or an increase in the overall functionality of the organization. This includes looking for consumer needs that can be satisfied with new products or services that can be supplied by the organization. It can also involve looking for new methods and technology that can increase profits or overall functionality of the organization. This step can be applied to the personal life of the individual. Most people are faced with many opportunities throughout their lives. However, such opportunities may or may not be recognized. Examples include opportunities related to higher education, job offers, opportunities to make friends, chances to form relationships with members of the opposite sex, opportunities to purchase unique products and services, etc. To establish objectives, this was a quote, this involves the creation of long-term and short-term goals that relate to an opportunity, as discussed in step 1. For example, if there is an unsatisfied consumer need, the company can set a goal to create and market a product that will satisfy the need. This idea can obviously be applied to the personal life of the individual. When we see an opportunity, such as a chance to attend a good college, we might set long-term and short-term goals that relate to the opportunity, such as plans to apply to the college, to obtain high grades, and to graduate from the college. 3. Choose from alternative courses of action. This involves choosing the various methods and alternative ways of obtaining the goal S. Such choices can be based on what would work best for the organization, given its strengths and weaknesses, and the circumstances of the internal and external environment of the system. For example, if the goal involves marketing a new product, the executives would have to choose the marketing strategy that would work best for the company. This might depend on the size and reputation of the company. If the organization was small with a reputation for high quality and specialized services, it might sell its product at a higher price to a relatively small number of customers that need or value the high quality and special service. If the organization was large and it had a reputation for low prices, it might mass market its product all over the world without any specialized services. This step is, of course, commonly used by everyone throughout life. That is, when an individual sets a goal, she must choose from alternative methods to achieve the goal. People generally choose the method or alternative that is best for them or easiest for them to carry out. 4. Formulate derivative plans. A derivative plan delineates a series of steps or actions that convert the more general long-range plans into specific operational plans. We all do this step in our daily lives, but it may be carried out in our minds on a conscious or unconscious level. We convert our long-range goals and plans into specific steps that constitute an operational plan. If we fail to do this or if we do it inadequately, which often happens with self-improvement goals, we will fail to obtain our objective. 5. Budget the plan. The budget is a written statement indicating how much money will be spent to carry out the plans needed to obtain a goal. It might be detailed to the point that it indicates how much money will be spent by each department working on the goal, and it might also indicate how much money is needed to achieve each of the sub-goals of the main goal. The individual often does not make a written budget when dealing with plans and goals. However, a budget based on rough estimations is probably created in the minds of most people. That is, we may estimate how much money it will cost to achieve a specific objective. I will modify the list Luthans and Hodgett created by adding 6 additional steps. These steps apply to organizations and individuals, which will be apparent without specific examples. The additional steps are as follows. 0. Create and look for opportunities. I mark this with a 0 because it should be the first step on the list. However, if there is an apparent opportunity, this step can obviously be skipped. This step implies an interesting question: how do you create or find opportunities? As will be apparent from the following paragraphs, there is no absolute way of obtaining opportunities. Basically, all of the following techniques are more or less based on chance, trial and error, and creative thinking. However, if the techniques are repeated over a period of time, new opportunities are likely to manifest. Opportunities can be created by experimentation, which can be formal laboratory research or informal trial and error. Even experimental manipulations without any specific objective can sometimes reveal valuable information that can reveal opportunities, such as trying to determine what would happen if you poked a jellyfish, if you mix 2 chemicals together, if you put an electric current through an entity, if you compliment the consumers for using your product, if you try to sell portable telephones to people in underdeveloped countries, etc. Such experimental manipulation can occasionally reveal interesting information that can lead to opportunities. Another way of creating opportunities is to form new relationships with foreign nations, organizations, and/or individuals. The relationship that is formed usually must be positive in nature, if it is going to lead to opportunities. Forming relationships with organizations or individuals that have more money or power than you have is one way of creating opportunities. A more precise way is to form relationships with specific organizations and individuals that can supply the opportunities you are interested in. Developing relationships with people with a specific need can result in opportunities to satisfy the need, in relation to selling a product or service. Creating relationships with people that can satisfy your needs or the needs of your organization can also lead to opportunities. In general, forming relationships with organizations or individuals that have qualities, strengths, weaknesses, and needs that are different from yours, or your organization, will increase the chances of obtaining new opportunities. Often there are opportunities that already exist, but it is necessary to find them. This can sometimes be achieved, as stated above, by forming relationships with organizations and/or individuals. Another way is to evaluate the needs and requirements of society and its various market segments. This can include various types of questionnaires and market research. Note the following numbers start at 6 because they are meant to follow the 5th step in the list created by Luthans and Hodgetts, which was presented above. 6. Estimate the time involved to achieve the various sub-goals and time needed to complete the entire project. The time needed to carry out plans are sometimes crucial. In some cases, it might not be possible to obtain the goal if the plans cannot be carried out within a specific period of time. 7. Consider the risks involved, in relation to obtaining the goal, and derive a set of plans to avoid the risks. It is possible to find or create many business and general life opportunities, but often there is an excess of risk involved. This is especially true with business opportunities that involve a considerable investment of money. 8. Consider the unlikely positive and negative outcomes that might manifest, and derive a set of contingency plans to deal with them. If highly functional contingency plans can be developed, it may increase the desirability of attempting to obtain goals that have a significant risk associated with them. 9. Create a simulation model to test the actions and goal that comprise the plan, and make appropriate corrections in the goal and overall plan as suggested by the simulation. The simulation can indicate ways of making better plans, and it can reduce the chances of serious errors and adverse consequences. The simulation model could be done in one or more of the following ways: in the mind, on paper, in a computer simulation, and in a small-scale test project. 10. As the plans are carried out, evaluate the feedback and make needed modifications in the plans, to correct errors or to increase overall functionality. When the situation is unpredictable or unstable, many corrections in the plans might be necessary. Thus, when the circumstances are unpredictable, it is best to make a set of plans that can easily be modified. In conclusion, it should be apparent from the above paragraphs that the planning process is involved and complex. If plans are inadequate, there is a high probability of a failure in relation to goal attainment. There are many problems that can manifest in the planning process. The following is a list of questions that can help with planning and solving related problems. What type of plans are you working on, such as strategic, long-range, or operational? What time interval does your plan relate to, such as many years, less than 5 years, a year, a month, a week, a day, an hour, etc.? What are your objectives or hopes in relation to your planning effort? Is the situation stable and predictable enough to define precise goals? Is it more feasible to create plans without specifically defined goals? How flexible are your plans? Are the circumstances predictable enough to use precise plans that are not flexible? Are the circumstances unpredictable enough to necessitate the use of flexible plans? What are all the negative goals, risks, and undesirable consequences that you want to avoid? How can you create a set of plans that will minimize the chances of the manifestation of the negative goals? What type of contingency plans do you need to deal with the negative goals, in the event they manifest? What are all the unexpected and positive outcomes that might manifest? What opportunities might result from the manifestation of unexpected positive outcomes? What plans would be required to avoid losing such opportunities?